Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka and Ryan Hwang with you. It is time now for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang, and the focus is on oil and tech, but separately in that sense.
That's right. So it's all about oil these days, and that's because of infighting within the OPEC Plus grouping. And on one side, you've got Saudi Arabia and Russia and pretty much everyone else versus the UAE. The UAE holding out to its demands that it wants any extension of any deal to be done with its quota for production being revised upwards. So it's happy to return supply to the markets, but it wants to be able to produce more. So that is pretty much the crux of the matter. And on the other hand, you've got a brewing battle between what's happening with the Chinese tech firms versus the regulators. So right in the middle is DB Chu Xing, which has been under pressure in recent days because of a clampdown by regulators over accusations or at least an investigation into how it uses and collects data. So all of that putting a lot of pressure on tech companies.
I think it's because, you know, we put DB Chu Xing on our companies to watch last week, and maybe someone from Beijing was listening and decided to watch
that.
DB Chu Xing
must be it. So to get a bigger picture, we've got Ho Wei Fook. He is the CIO for DBS Bank. Morning, Wei Fook. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Ryan and Elliot.
Hey, Wei Fook, we've got quite a bit to get through. So let's start with OPEC Plus first. Quite a bit of infighting. So what this means for now is no deal, and that means no supply come August. What are the type of ripple effects you will see in the markets with this happening?
Well, you know, the oil price has been steadily going up, but really, you know, our approach is really, you know, oil price will be in a broad range. So don't get overly excited when it hits $80, $100, because then there will be a lot of supply coming through, not just from OPEC or Russia, but also from the shale gas producers out of the U.S. Neither don't get too pessimistic when it goes to $30, $40, because that's when shale gas producers cannot produce profitably. So we are stuck in a range. So really, the way to play the oil market is to, you know, what we like is income-generating kind of equities. Mm-hmm. So we like integrated oil of European companies because they pay you a very nice dividend.
Yeah, when you look at the economy bouncing back in some parts of the world, is the energy sector a good play to get into right now?
Yeah, so I think it is a very cyclical play. So the way to, you know, position one's portfolio is to, you know, in our strategy is to barbell. You know, one side of it is to have long-term growth companies, the other side dividend. So oil companies, Singapore equities is also another, I would say, fertile ground for, you know, these kind of income equities.
Yeah, I'll get into the Singapore side in just a bit. At the top of the list of things that investors are digesting is what's happening in the Chinese tech space with DB Chu Xing in the crosshairs of regulators. So that has seen some ripple effects with people, at least companies with stakes in DB Chu Xing, seeing a bit of a slump in Hong Kong yesterday, and DB itself, share price under pressure. What's your take on the Chinese tech space? Where does it fit in your portfolio right now?
Yeah, we like them, but certainly, in the near term, there has been some regulatory headwinds, not just in China, actually, even in the U.S., you know, the antitrust kind of, you know, discussions. But if you think about it, I mean, really the trend is the world becoming a digital economy, and that is still, you know, in the early innings. And if you look at some of these big tech companies, they are, you know, the earnings profile trajectory is still very, I would say, clear, you know, double-digit returns in the next several years. So we like them. You know, in China, you know, the tech companies have fallen like 25-30%. I think it's a great time to, you know, accumulate.
Mm-hmm. So a bit of a buy on a dip opportunity here with what's happening there in China. And taking a step back, at least, if you look at your allocation to equities, I'm looking at your latest outlook and you are upgrading Europe and downgrading Asia ex-Japan. Walk us through the thinking here. You're pretty much moving money from one region to another.
Yeah, so, you know, Europe is also a value play. It has actually underperformed US, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years because there is very little technology exposure, you know, in there. But with this reopening, due to the vaccinations, you know, the pace of vaccination in Europe, we do see the value play coming back. Now, why we had to fund the overweight in Europe by another region. You know, we didn't want to fund it from the U.S. because the U.S., we still like the U.S. because of the technology, you know, innovator kind of a play. So So we had to fund it out of Asia. And it's, I would say, a tactical, you know, maybe three months late. Asia, we need to see, you know, vaccinations, in particular ASEAN, to kind of be stepped up. So until then, we, you know, we will just probably ride on more of the, I would say, selective place in Asia. You know, in ASEAN would be, you know, Singapore, income equity.
Yeah, so it's all about relative performance or outperformance in a sense. So where does Singapore fit into this? I'm looking at year to date, it's already up on STI over 10%. Is this still a good pay to go into when you think about the upside still left when you look at what's happening with the possible easing of measures to come with dining in next Monday to be, well, group size of five, maybe you can bring your family out. And that is quite looking positive.
Yeah, it's encouraging to note that Singapore is on the way to reopening its economy. I would say a gradual progression towards normalization. At the same time, the government's fiscal support remains in place. So it's very, very positive news to us. But again, you know, we really need to see the neighboring countries, in particular ASEAN, you know, to have their kind of vaccination rates go up, pandemic situation stabilize for our growth to be on a stronger footing. Oh, Singapore, how it kind of fits into our portfolio construct is that it has a big, I would say, exposure into what we call income equity. So Singapore REITs, Singapore banks are what we like in our kind of portfolio, global portfolio construction.
Okay, so that's where you're hunting for yield these days. Is that right, Wei Fu?
Yeah, that's right. I think Singapore offers that, you know, and really lots of interesting plays in the order of 4 to 6% kind of yield.
Okay, we've been chatting with Ho Wei Fook. He is the CIO for DBS Bank. Wei Fook, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.